everyone. Welcome to In Your Element from Tetra Map, where our focus is on developing people and business the way nature intended. Our guests will be sharing their expertise on what it's like when you're working in your element and working in a great team where people value each other's differences. I'm Louise Duncan, your host, and look forward to sharing this with you in the coming weeks. Today's guest is Fred Tan from Singapore. Fred is the former head, Centre for Leadership Development at Singapore Armed Forces, and has held a really distinguished career in the military, serving operationally at the United Nations headquarters. Now, recently, with two other founders and drawing on their significant experiences, Fred has established a new business, Genium and Company, and they're focused on developing future leaders and founded on the belief that we can each be our own genius to achieve phenomenal success in life and at work, which is so inspiring and positive. So, Fred, it's a huge privilege and an honor to have you join our podcast today, and a really big warm welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Louise.
So for those who aren't familiar, could you give us some background about you and what you do?
Okay, sure. I served 29 years in the Singapore Armed Forces and retired as a colonel. Held various appointments from a platoon size force to a brigade. And along the way, my staff function is really in the human resource. So with those two set of experience, my final tour was really what was in the Center for Leadership Development, where the organization thinks that given my background in command and also in the human resource, I could probably learn or to help the organization develop leaders in a more systematic way. So that was what I did for the past 6.5 years before I retired. And just started a Genium and Company. And it is really our strong belief that within all of us, we are own genius, right? We are able to transform our reality to achieve our vision. So that is how we came together and wanted to apply what we have learned, our experiences, share our experiences more on a hands-on practical know-how as opposed to the textbook researcher. Yeah. Well, those are important, but we try to marry those. But with our background, I think we can value add and create a greater impact to the organizations that we help to support.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because if an individual has that belief that they can be a phenomenal success and be their own genius, that's going to make them want to contribute more to the overall organization because it builds their confidence so much.
Yes, it all starts from our own mindset, right?
Yeah.
So we come to work, what kind of energy we bring to work, how motivated we are, how connected to the organization's purpose, it all starts with us. And the leaders play a big role because if leaders come in unmotivated and just drawing a paycheck, that is very sad because the followers will role model from the leaders and then they will also behave the same. And then very soon the culture will start to sink in and people will start to be just doing the minimum to get by. So it becomes a very vicious cycle that the leaders are not energizing the followers and their teams.
I totally agree with that. Well, wishing you every success with that, Fred.
Thank you. It sounds
phenomenal. I'm sure you're going to be in huge demand.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Well, getting back to the podcast, we decided to call the podcast In Your Element because it aptly describes the work we do with nature, with teams, and the whole essence about feeling great about being uniquely you. So let's start off with you, Fred. I mean, when you're in your element, what are you thinking, doing, feeling?
Okay, I score very high in the air elemental preference, followed by earth and water and fire. So my highest is air, right? So when I'm doing things, what am I thinking is the first thing that comes to the mind is what is the big picture? Its importance and also what is the logic behind why we are doing certain things. So that thing comes front and center. I need to get that piece off before I start even to lift a finger to start into doing. So when I'm doing, I also constantly think about what is the most efficient way and also what is the most effective way. So in my mind, I can also balance and juxtapose the two and say that, well, if I go for the efficient way, how does that impact on the effectiveness in the longer run? So I try to balance both. Of course, there's a time and space for each, because when you're in a crisis, when you're when you're in a time crunch, the efficient way is to be the way to go. Right. And then lastly, when you're feeling fairly focused in getting the task done, right? Feeling for it, staying focused and single-mindedly trying to get it done, get the task done while you're doing, try to multitask and all that. So I'm quite a one task, one person kind of person, and trying to get it quickly done and then move on.
And Fred, how about out of work? Is that similar for you?
Similar, because in bringing up the kids, in encouraging them to learn and all that, it's quite similar. I think if you ask Christina, my wife, she will also say that, yeah, I'm fairly similar in the way I approach things. Sometimes too clinical. Perhaps something I can work on is to raise feeling part, right, in some of the things I do. It cannot be seen too mechanical and too transactional at times.
Well, that's interesting, yeah, because I think most people find that it's similar across work and home, but they have to tone up or tone down or flex up or flex down one thing or the other. So I just wondered, TetraMap is all about nature, and we always ask our guests to describe something about nature that's important to you, and how do you see this relates to human nature, if at all, in your life and work?
Okay. I particularly like the nature's principle of sustainability. Why? Because it gives a sense of long-term perspective. It gives a sense of renewal, allowing the situation to self-heal, to improve, and also a sense of resilience to the situation, and then still recovering, coming back for the long haul. I relate this principle of sustainability to human nature, to say that when we do things, we need to pay attention to the long-term effects, to look at how along the way we will encounter setbacks in life. Are we able to overcome these setbacks, stay resilient, and adapt as we go? So that is my connection between what the nature's principle and how human nature, if we put our heart and soul to some of the challenges we face, when there is a will, there will be a way.
And how do you think humanity is doing overall in terms of our approach to sustainability in the globe? That's a bit of a big picture question. Yeah, but you like those big picture questions.
The challenge is, if you balance the long-term interest and the short-term interest, a lot of countries are just looking at the short-term interest, right? Developing countries are looking at what is in it for me to quickly scale up, to develop my country's economy. I don't care how much damage I'm going to do to the Mother Earth, but I'm going to get there as fast as to the status of a developed country. Then lies when they look down and they say that, hey, you guys are not pulling your weight, but we fail to also see that along their own way of development, they have also created a lot of damage to the Mother Earth. So therein lies that short-term, long-term, for those who are already there, they look back and they blame the people who are getting there, and those people who are getting there look up and say that, hey, you guys also did a fair amount of damage. So therein lies that balance, right? If only we can just look at, okay, how can we preserve this for the future generations? And who is going to be paying less carbon tax, who's going to be paying more carbon tax, kind of. But the first principle must be, we need to preserve this for the future generations.
Yeah, and I suppose in a leadership context, sustainability is something that's really relevant for sustainability of the future of the business, sustainability of future leaders. And I know that's something that you've been particularly focused on.
Yeah, and if you take, it's also related to the notion of stewardship, where you leave the place in a better, an organization in a better place, right, when we first inherited. So I came across the book Legacy recently about the All Blacks, right, New Zealand. They talk about leaving the jersey in a better place when they first come into the team, and when they leave the team, the legacy will continue. So I found it very motivating to have that stewardship mindset. We are only here for a transient period of time. And then time we have on the earth, we need to maximize and try to preserve it and try to make it a better place before we leave this earth.
That's very true. Well, thank you for the reference to the All Blacks. For those people who don't know us, we're talking in different continents. I'm here in New Zealand at the moment. So, you know, the All Blacks Legacy book, I've heard a couple of other people refer to that as well in this context. So that's an interest, but thank you for highlighting
it. It's an easy read. Two, three hours.
that's fine for me. well, Fred, you know, I did ask you if you had a short reading or a favourite quote that you would want to share with our listeners. And I just wondered if you found something. Maybe it's from that book.
Not from the book, from what I just shared to. It came from a Cherokee proverb. All right. That said, I quote, "When you were born, you cried and the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries and you rejoice."
Wow. That's very powerful. And what led you to select that, Fred?
Again, it goes to the life, my life philosophy to say that, well, we come with nothing, we will live with nothing. So what we can do in this short period, 70, 80 years, hopefully, that on Earth, what kind of impact can we leave behind? What kind of influence can we guide the rest of the following generations and our peers? I think it's important because when we are gone, we'll go back to ashes. And so to me, it's really in our time, limited time on Earth, how much can we do to serve a mission that is greater than our just for material wealth or status? Is life is beyond that, we serve a higher calling.
That's fantastic. Well, that also relates to legacy, doesn't it? So the two things are tied very nicely. Thank you for that. How interesting. I wondered if you had a story about your leadership work, either with Tetramap or not, that's meaningful for you, and something that's maybe been a surprise, a highlight, or perhaps even a really great learning experience.
Yeah, I want to share a story. Many years ago, this happened about 21 years ago, in 1997. Okay, some may have heard that there was a Silk Air aircraft, MI-185, that took off from Jakarta to Singapore. And midway, there was a mishap. The plane crashed into the Musi River. So I heard the news. The time I was a company commander leading a of 120 soldiers. Mm-hmm. I heard the news on a Friday night on my way back home about 7, 8 p.m. And when I got home, about 9 p.m., I got a call from my battalion commander, my immediate superior. He said, "Fred, you need to come back. Our battalion has been activated and I'm putting your company to be the point company if we are going to help in the disaster relief. Your company will be first to go. So please come back. We'll prepare first thing tomorrow morning, and we prepare the soldiers for first aid and all the training required." I went back, reached camp about midnight, and started to plan. All right, I got my key leaders, my officers together. I said, let's plan something that we prepare our boys better, prepare our soldiers better, both in their first aid skills and also their psychological skills, so that psychological mindset, so that when they see certain sights, they will not be shocked. You know? So the next morning, we gather the soldiers. We tell them the situation, and then we say, for the next half of the morning, we're going to be training you, revising you in first aid, in technical skills, in setting up tentages and all that. Straight away, you can see the excitement, you can see the connection of what they will be doing to the higher purpose of the mission. Mm. So even the demotivated soldiers who didn't like training, outfield and all that, they were all excited. They were all wanting to put in, and you can see the way we also train them in fireman's carry, in casualty evacuation, carrying the stretcher. You can see them putting 110% effort. So from that incident, in the end, we didn't get activated. By Saturday afternoon, they say, "Well, we got another team to go in, a smaller team, so we do not need your company. So your company can stand down." And by Saturday night, we send them back home. So even from that simple incident, when there is all of a sudden a common mission, you can see that the soldiers will come together, put in their best effort because they know what they are doing or about to do could serve a higher purpose greater than themselves. So from that experience, it stayed with me throughout to say that as leaders, we need to continuously provide that connection or even communicate the connection, what our team is doing, what is the team's objective, team's goals, how can we, what is your part in making it a success? So by connecting that individual's role to the team's goals and objectives, it is a very powerful thing, because a lot of times people do not mind hard work. People mind meaningless work life. All right, you get people to do a lot of unnecessary work. They don't see the connection. They get that is the easiest way to disengage, to demotivate someone. So from that incident, from the experience, it stayed with me to always remind myself, whatever high positions you hold, whatever high mission that you want to achieve, please go down to the last person and make sure that they know what they are doing. They could be a driver, they could be a store man, whatever appointment, it doesn't matter, but they need to know their contribution to the organization's So that was and it stayed with me, because after that I had a chance to be deployed in East Timor as a peacekeeping force, went to Aceh as a team leader in Aceh monitoring mission. It stayed with me, and it is transcends all cultures, because human being, regardless of whether you are your ethnic background, your race, everybody wants to know that they are playing a part in the larger organization's mission and goals. Right? As long as we don't communicate, we assume, sometimes we just assume it is so obvious. We have it on our lobby, we have it on our front, porch and all that. Everybody sees it, but don't assume that by seeing it, it is internalized in the individual, right? So the leaders need to make sure that this message is internalized.
And make the connection between the work to the bigger picture. Would you say that needs to happen day in, day out? Is that what you're saying from a leadership point of view?
And while you say it, you must also live it yourself. To have that role modeling effect that you are, while you're saying it, the espouse connection, it also live in your day-to-day behaviors, that it is those are the connection, the values in use are also seen by them in terms of your behaviors.
Mm. And what was interesting about your story was that your guys, your soldiers actually got stood down. So they didn't actually get to do the mission, but it still stayed with them that their contribution was valuable anyway, because they were in that ready state of preparedness to go forward with things.
Yeah, you can see some disappointed faces, but I told them, look, it is... actually, it's better that we don't go, right? I mean, we do not want to see some of the ugly sides. You know? But then again, they were disappointed because of all the preparation. I say, we could have done nothing, right? And worse, you get sent, you get deployed, and you'll be totally incapable to deliver the mission. So we were in a better state, and that helped to change the mentality of the soldiers after. In subsequent training sessions and all that, I constantly reminded them to say, look, we all were together, we learned some of these skills, and now these skills are not wasted. The revision of these skills were not wasted, because now we can continue to train as a team. It holds us together in terms of a more cohesive and high-performing.
Mm, so that's really the debrief as well, the importance of the debrief of that kind of thing to retain that level of engagement and motivation. And I've heard you talk about that before, about, you know, retaining people's level of engagement to their hearts and minds is so important from the leadership perspective.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that story. And finally, Fred, as Tetramap is really all about developing great teams naturally, we wondered if there was anything you'd like to share on that topic that might be a great gift for anyone that's listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Maybe I just share a bit to say why Tetramap sticks. Why the Singapore Armed Forces chose Tetramap was that it is easy to use, easy to apply, and it sticks with our young leaders. So that was a key criteria that we could easily go on with other instruments, other tools, but we felt that, well, this is easy to use and it sticks and it can be applied in our day-to-day life for our young military leaders. So that was a key criteria why we chose. But I continue to apply this. I just conducted a session last Thursday with an organization for team building, team learning kind of session. And what happened was when we shared the Tetra map preferences and all that, we grouped them into the various elements, and then they discussed around their own flip chart. You can sense the energy. You can sense the fun, and then the barriers were broken because they were all in their similar elemental preferences, and they were able to communicate and they talk. And you can see, it took me a while to stop them, and they say, "Time is up. I need to move on to the next activity." That you need to hold them back, all right? But prior to introducing Tetra, they were like very guarded. They were like, "Okay, I need to know my place." They were very low psychological safety. So after when we did the Tetra preferences and all that, the matching and the why are you like that? How do you approach me? Kind of activity. Actually, all the barrier, the site safety barrier came down, and they were all very eager to share. And then it carried throughout the entire day of workshop. And I found it is very positive because it sets the tone correct. It's not threatening. It allows a team to, and I even reminded them at the end and said, look, now that we know this field of knowledge and we know each other's elemental preferences, let's continue the conversation and treat each other, all right, according to the nature's principle, and treat each other and understand why people are behaving certain things, or why the earth is so critical and so blunt when they under stress and all that. So some of these are useful to remember, and it sticks. I still get messages from them and say, hey, thanks for the session. And then we hope to bring you back. And I think it is a useful instrument for teams and team leaders to understand in order to build that stronger and more high-performing team going forward.
And interesting that you say that even though they don't realize it at the time, that psychological safety barrier comes down, which gives them the opportunity to contribute more and have that inclusive experiential learning experience, which is, I know, something that you're going to be focusing on going forward. So that's really a cool thing. Thank you so much for sharing that, because we're often asked from the outside point of view, how come, you know, an organization like the Singapore Armed Forces would use such a simple tool as TetraMap. And I remember when we met a couple of years back, you talk about its use and value in its simplicity and stickability. And I think people don't understand how it can be relevant in a military institution. They can understand it in just the same, really.
Yeah. And if you can translate some of the stresses and the difficulties when you're out in the elements, out in the field, the level of stress and all that, it helps for young leaders who are put on leadership positions struggling. This comes in as a useful tool. We also know that because of social media, because of more screen time, increasingly the human-to-human connection, one's ability to connect with each other, will be a challenge because our people are spending more time on the screen. Your sense of empathy will be reduced. So I think this Tetra map is a useful tool for young leaders to actually apply it and then break out from their lack of interpersonal skills and all that. Allowing them is a bridge, right? Allowing them to say, I can apply this. I can use this. I know myself better. I know my team better. The six of the other person in the whole team of seven, we are able to work together hand in hand, and that becomes very powerful. And with that experience, that they can bring it to life to the next, their civilian job, when they leave the national service, when they go out to study, when they go out to the organizations and then they work, that sense of achievement when they were in the national service as a young leader, hopefully that carries them through, that they have led effective teams before, and that they can apply for the rest of their lives. The news needs to get out more, the publicity and all that. So, which is why when our partners came together, they asked me, what is a good tool, right, for team to come together? I say, no discussion, Tetra is the way to go. I fully endorse it, and we used it, and it's not just by voice, verbal endorsement. We use it, and then we walk the talk to share that this is a useful instrument for all team leaders, all effective leaders to have.
Well, thank you, Fred, for that. That's very kind of you. I think we know that, but it's useful to have somebody who's been in a position like yours to say why it's adding value and how it's adding value. Because people say, oh, it's so simple, it can't work. But actually, it's the opposite way around. Because it's so simple, it makes sense to people and they can apply it without having to think too hard about the logistical application behind it and the analytical application, they can just use it. I think it reduces the stigma around I'm not like this and you're not like that. It encourages people to value their differences and celebrate who they actually are, which is a cool thing to do.
And the good thing is also it's just a map, right? It's just a mapping. It's not a terrain. So end of the day, people can change because of the roles that they hold in different positions, different circumstances that they have, and we all have four different types of elements within us anyway. So it is not a stereotyping. It doesn't box people in that dogmatically that you can't break out from it. So I think it is flexible enough, and it is just at this point of time, this is your preference. That's it.
Wow. Well, what more can I say? I would like to leave you with the final word just to talk a little more, if you want to, about Genium and how people can get in touch with you and that kind of thing, Fred, you know?
Okay. Yeah. You can find us on the web, website name www.genium.sg, GENIUM.sg. So you can find us there and then you can contact us from there.
Thanks very much, Fred. And we've been speaking today with Fred Tan, in case you didn't catch his name right at the start. So next time our guests will be talking about similar things, but in different contexts, and helping add value to our whole global community about leadership, interpersonal relationships, managing conflict at work, and getting the most out of valuing our diversity. And the one foundation that we have is strength lies in valuing our differences. And if we can apply that in a mindset, it helps us at work, at home, and in the way we look after our planet too. So thank you very much, Fred, for joining us this time, and wonderful contributions from you.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me, Louise.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Fred.